If you were here worshiping with us at our Maundy Thursday evening service on March 29th, you would have found yourself caught up in the story of Jesus' Last Supper. And before they supped, Jesus made this radical move towards his disciples. He washed their feet. And in first century Jewish culture, this was unheard of. Teachers and mentors did not wash their followers' feet. That was the work of house slaves and servants. The disciples were in awe, jaws dropped, eyes wide open. We read that Peter blurts out, "No, no, no! You will never wash my feet." And remember what Jesus said after he had washed their feet? "Do you know what I have done to you? Yes, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." The disciples continue to be in awe, trying to make sense of this turn your world upside down moment, and then the zinger. And this is what Maundy Thursday is all about. Maundy comes from, you choir people think you're getting your Latin on today. I've got my own Latin to get on. Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means mandate or command. And so Jesus' Last Thursday with his disciples is the night of the mandatum nova, the new command. Mandauta nova? Yes, your pastor is insecure. He needs affirmation. So Jesus is saying, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And Jesus pads his farewell speech with other radical exhortations and mysteries, but the heart of the message is this mandatum nova, a commandment to love. And so we fast forward an hour or two into this evening speech, and here we are in chapter 15. Jesus affirming that he will continue to comfort and care for his disciples. And in last week's sermon, Jesus reminded us that part of that caring was this abiding in Jesus and being in the hands of a good gardener, a good vineyard keeper. And so for the disciples, it's not just resting in the Mediterranean evening, eating pita and hummus and pouring out jugs of red wine for each other. There's work to be done. And so in verse 9 of chapter 15, we learn more of this labor of love. They're in an upper room, the disciples, sharing a meal in humble digs, gathered round a low-level table, sitting on the floor, probably. Some of the disciples even leaning on each other. And when some of our biblical historians talk about the table and this Last Supper, they suggest that even John, the beloved disciple, might have been right beside Jesus, so close that he was laying his head on Jesus' heart. And that's why on the bulletin today, there's this picture of the beloved disciple laying his head on the heart of Jesus. And so I want you to use that image and that kind of setting to help form your imagination as you listen to this story anew. Jesus talks more about this commandment of love. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. I have called you friends because I've made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. I chose you. I appointed you. Love one another. And I hope that you count yourself as a friend of Jesus this morning. Do you know that? Receive that anew. Be assured of it. You are a friend of Jesus. We are all friends of Jesus this morning. And so we are invited into this labor of love. We have a common call, and the word love, of course, and the action and the work of love gets used and carelessly handled so much in our culture and in our world. During weddings, I sometimes talk about the reality that the act of love or the phrase of love is so varied and complex, right? We say, I love triple brownie cheesecake. And then we turn to our spouse or our partner and we say, and I love you too. Maybe more, maybe less, I'm not sure today. Love is rich, but sometimes it's simple and mundane, while other times it can be so darn complicated. So when Jesus tells us to love one another, what is he asking of us? Well, friends of Jesus, he's asking a lot. Because when Jesus talks about love, and especially in the Gospel of John, it's that I'm going to get and change all the cosmos with my love kind of love. We heard it a few weeks ago when Ken preached on John 3:16. For God so loved the cosmos, the world, that he gave. This is the grandeur and depth of the love that Jesus is talking about. A love where life is laid down for the other. A love that transforms the world and transforms us as we attempt to live the way of love. So even this morning, as we start making our way closer to the table of love, this meal of love, I want to invite you to pause for maybe just a few seconds and think of a moment or a season of your life where love was truly changing you. I hope you've had moments or seasons where you can name that. Perhaps it was a wedding day, or maybe your own, or maybe the wedding of a friend or a relative, where you saw love actually transforming these people. Maybe it's a part of your Christian journey where you had that moment where this relentless love of Jesus through the community of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit found you, and you welcomed the love of God into your heart, your body, your mind, your soul. Maybe it was a practical moment. Maybe someone did bake you a triple brownie cheesecake, and that was this moment of love. Maybe it was when you were forgiven generous and freely. Maybe you were comforted, cared for, strengthened. Let's pause for a few seconds and be reminded of a moment or a season when love changed us.